studies on the Christian home. Open your Bibles back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6 presents to us a key passage in relation to the home, and we're looking at the subject of education. Education in the home, and we've had a couple of lessons on this so far, and we want to just continue on this theme for a bit longer. All right, let's reread those verses. It says in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." So we see some very important verses here in relation to the responsibility that God gives us as parents to educate and train our children. Now, it's interesting that this is actually in our covenant, our church covenant. It says that we covenant together to religiously educate our children. Very important scriptural principle we see. And as we've mentioned previously, the whole process begins in the heart of the parent. You notice that God challenges through Moses, the parents first, that these words which he has commanded them are to be or were to be in their hearts. And then from there, from that heart position in relation to the truth, they were to then flow out into the lives of their children. So as parents, we need to first and foremost seek to set the example in hungering and thirsting after God and his word, saturating our personal lives with the word of God, developing good devotional habits, good study habits, so that we will be equipped to then teach our children. So now we look at the verse 7 through 9. We deal now with the student. We looked at the educator, which is the parent, in the first few verses there. And then now we look at how we are to teach our children. And I've got 4 points here for you tonight. Number one, we need to teach the word diligently. Diligently. Teach the word diligently. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." This is a formal type of teaching. When we think of the word teach, we think of instruction of a more formal nature. As we're going to see in a moment, there is to be informal instruction, but the home needs to have both formal and informal instruction in the Word of God. Now this phrase, "teach them diligently," comes from the Hebrew word meaning to whet or to sharpen. And let me give you some examples. Deuteronomy 32:41. "If I whet my glittering sword," W-H-E-T, that comes from the same Hebrew word. Isaiah 5:28, "whose arrows are sharp." Okay, the word sharp there is from the same Hebrew word translated here, "teach them diligently." Psalm 45 verse 5, "thine arrows are sharp." Same thing again. Okay, so we see that the whole concept here of teaching is to sharpen the child. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, in Psalm 127, that children are likened to arrows. What do arrows need? Arrows need maintenance, they need sharpening, they need care and attention. And so it is with our children. We are to take the word of God, and we are to seek to sharpen their hearts and their minds and their philosophy of life with the word of God. Now, this is a parental responsibility. The primary responsibility for the training of children in the Word of God falls fairly and squarely in Scripture upon the shoulders of the parents. Now, that doesn't mean that we go too far, as some do, to where they say we don't even need a local church anymore and we just start home and dad becomes prophet, priest, king, pastor and everything, okay? No. The local church is another institution that God has given, and it is an asset and a will hopefully reinforce and work alongside the parent in teaching children the Word of God. So the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, and we need both. But it starts in the home, and ultimately the responsibility falls on the parent's shoulders. So as a parent, if you're in a church that does not preach the Word of God, well, you could blame the church, or you could take your responsibility before the Lord and say, I'm going to find one that does. So Ephesians 6:4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I think the modern versions want to change that to ye parents. The Bible recognises an important principle here, that the father, particularly in the home, as the head of the home, is to take the responsibility and the oversight for the training of the children. Of course, the mother is going to work under the husband's leadership to facilitate that. But first and foremost, men, we have to take responsibility for what is coming into the hearts and minds of our children. God holds us responsible, and I believe we will give an account to the Lord one day for this. Now, we're living in a day where we have many passive men, sadly, men who are passive and not the strong spiritual leaders that they need to be in their homes. And that's just a statement of fact, sadly. But may that not be said of us. We want to be men who are strong in spirit, men who have some leadership and some backbone to take responsibility for the training of our children. Now, this is just so important. I have here some statistics that, according to a recent Pew Research Center poll in the USA, about 70% now of young Americans, 30 years old and younger, now embrace molecules to man evolution and reject special creation. And I got this out of the Creation magazine. And they say here, the poll results are both predictable and tragic. Both predictable and tragic. And they say, why predictable? Well, they quote here a humanist writing back in 1930. And listen to what he said. He said, education is thus a most powerful ally of humanism. And every American public school is a school of humanism. Listen to this. This will chill your spine, Christian parent. What can the theistic Sunday schools, meeting for an hour once a week and teaching only a fraction of the children, do to stem the tide of a five-day program of humanistic teaching? Not a bad observation, really, is it? For he's just stating a fact. What can the church really do, he's saying, with a one-hour-a-week program with only a fraction of the children to really combat what we're doing? Make no mistake about it, people out there with evil agendas know the power of education. They know the power of education, and they're using it to their advantage. Today, the sodomite agenda is being pushed now into the education system at an alarming rate. Why? Because they understand. They understand that children's minds are impressionable, and if you can shape and mould their young minds in a certain way from a young age, then very likely they will carry that on into adulthood. Now, it's interesting, Proverbs says, train up the child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. In many ways, that works for the wrong type of training as well. Okay, if children are raised with ungodly teaching, it's almost impossible to shake them out of it. Okay, it can be very hard. Now, God is able to do that through salvation, but you get the point. Okay, I believe it was one of the communist leaders, I think it was either Stalin or Lenin, and I'm just working off memory now, said something to the effect, basically, give me a child to the age of five and basically that's it. I've got him for life. That's why Hitler put much time and energy into the Hitler Youth programs. Why? To indoctrinate the young people, to reach the young people. And that's what we see today. So it is very important today that parents and particularly fathers have spiritual discernment and enough spiritual muscle to take oversight as the Word of God requires. It's a command. Ye fathers, we are to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That encompasses the concept of education and training as you study those words. So, in fact, that's what the word nurture means, I believe. It has the idea of encompasses discipline, training, education, etc. So, Rather than allowing our children's minds and hearts to be shaped and moulded by worldly philosophies, we want to do what the Word of God says here and teach them diligently, sharpen them, shape and mould their minds, what with the Word of God. Teach them diligently. So we need to teach the Word diligently, and that involves a formal concept. Then number two, we need to discuss the Word frequently. Teach the Word diligently, then discuss the Word frequently. Notice it says there, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So this is more of a teaching of an informal nature. It's the Word of God. Teaching the Word of God in the home is to be really an outflow and an extension of the parent's own walk with God, something that just flows out into everyday life. And if the parent is putting the Lord first, seeking after Him, studying the Word of God, then this will very often be something that happens almost unconsciously, but at the same time we need to be prepared to give it some thought as well. So we see here that during times there's a number of settings that the Bible gives us when we are sitting in our house. This speaks of times of leisure. Times of leisure. And the home is a wonderful place for valuable discussions to take place with children, to talk with them about principles from the Word of God, to answer questions, to read them good material, and so on. Then when thou walkest by the way, this is during times of travel. And this is another avenue that we can use. When thou liest down and when thou risest up, speaks again of the principle of morning and evening, beginning the day with the Word of God and ending the day with the Word of God. So we need to take the responsibility to diligently instruct and sharpen and mould and shape our children in the Word of God. But then we need to also learn to cultivate a culture within our homes and the time we spend with our families in speaking freely about the things of God, discussing those openly with our children, asking them questions that maybe will help engage them in conversation, and so on. And then number three, we want to display the Word plentifully. Teach the Word diligently, discuss the Word frequently, display the Word plentifully. And here the Bible then instructed the children of Israel to have a physical sign that would remind them of the Word of God, verse 8 and 9. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Now the Jews to this day have made a massive tradition out of this, to where, they will wear little scrolls of the Word of God and things like that, and they've really turned it into a religious work, which doesn't really have much substance to it. But what's the picture here? It certainly could involve the concept of actually having the Word of God displayed in our homes. I believe it does. It talks about writing it there upon the gates, and it's good if we can, at the posts of the house, and on the gates. And I think it's a good practice, if we can, to hang up maybe verses of Scripture in the home, to have the Word of God displayed. I read a true story about a man who went through the World War II with the Hitler Youth and was just indoctrinated by the Nazis. It's a very powerful story. But how he eventually came to know Christ, and one thing that the Lord used in bringing him to himself was a verse of Scripture hanging up in this dear Christian lady's home. And it just kept captivating his attention when he was staying there, and it just burned into his heart and into his mind. And the Lord really used that as part of the process in drawing this man to himself. So displaying the Word in the home, okay, is a wonderful thing to do, rather than putting up all our favourite sports stars or whatever. Perhaps we should put the emphasis where the Bible does, and again, fill our homes with the Word of God. But I think there's a higher principle that's being taught here. Certainly it would involve a literal display of the Word in our homes, but I think the point that the Word of God is making here is that the Word of God is always before us. It's central in our focus, okay? When we talk about our hands, frontlets between our eyes, the posts of the house, the gates, these are all central focal points in our lives. things that our eyes rest upon frequently. So the point that the Word of God is making is that the Word of God occupies the central position in the home. It's not just something that we tack on as an add-on for good measure, but it's right there. It's always before us. And we're seeking to diligently follow the teaching of the Word of God in our lives. C.H. McIntosh comments on this. He says, "Here we have indeed a golden rule," and he's making reference now to the whole principle that's found in verse 7 down. "Here we have indeed," he says, "a golden rule which takes in everything from the cradle to matured manhood." Yes, he says, we repeat, from the cradle. "For we are most fully persuaded that all true Christian training begins at the very beginning." Did you know that? Don't underestimate what that little baby is taking in with its environment. Even in the womb, they can hear things. They can hear if you're singing and so on. And children are not robots. Children, like adults, have a spirit that was created by God to have fellowship with God. They're spiritual beings. They're not a glorified animal. Man was created different from the animals in that he was given the faculty of the spirit. So children are impressionable from the youngest of ages. So he says, "For we are fully persuaded," and he was a godly man, C.H. McIntosh, had quite a large family, I believe, "that all true Christian training begins at the very beginning." He says, "Some of us have little idea of how soon and how sharply children begin to observe and how much they take in as they gaze at us through their dear expressive eyes." Isn't that so true, parents? Boy, you think... You ever having a conversation with your wife or your husband, and all of a sudden the children are so well behaved in the background, and you just completely forget about them, and they're sitting there playing with a block like this. Then later on they spit something out, and you go, "I think they heard everything we just said," and that they understood more than we realised. So, but that can be a positive thing if we have the right sort of environment in the home. And then how marvellously, he goes on, susceptible they are of the moral atmosphere which surrounds them. Yes, he says, and it is this very moral atmosphere that constitutes the grand secret of training our families. Our children should be permitted, this will challenge every parent, to breathe from day to day the atmosphere of love and peace, purity, holiness, and true practical righteousness. This has an amazing effect in forming the character. Very powerful words, and I believe reflect what the Word of God is teaching us here. So we want to aim for a home that is permeated with the spirit of the Word, with that saturation of the Word in our homes. So we want to teach the Word diligently, discuss it frequently, and then display it plentifully. And number four now, for the sake of just maintaining an outline, practice the principles creatively, okay? In other words, let's give you some practical suggestions, okay? Practice the principles creatively. And I just want to give you some thoughts to stimulate your own minds on how we can put the clear principles taught us here into practice. And again, you can think of others yourself, but I'll just share some. So, some tips for family devotions. We see the concept here of beginning and ending the day with the Word of God. And this is a great practice and habit to form if you can. And what we do personally is we have, Kate usually reads to our children in the morning around the breakfast table, because I'm usually gone by then, and has prayer with them. And they've worked their way through a number of books of the Bible now that way. And then at night time, when we have our main family meal, that's when I read the Word of God when we're all together. And I think that's important. If the father is present as the head of the home, I think it's good for him to, I believe it would be a scriptural concept for him to be the main reader of the Word, because again, it's reinforcing the leadership of the father in the home in relation to the instruction of the Word. So the father can read the Word of God, answer questions, maybe make comments just as they come to mind as he goes through, and it's a wonderful opportunity for that training in the Word of God. Or perhaps you might like to do it with a child before they go to bed, but whatever. As parents, we want to try and cultivate, taking the principle here, of establishing time in the Word with our children in the morning and time in the evening. Fathers, you're responsible to make it happen. Work with your wife on this. Work out what works best for you. Some fathers read in the morning, whatever. But if you can start and finish the day with the Word of God. Now, some other tips for family devotions. Sometimes for young children, we have found that the use of a good Bible storybook can be an aid and a help. Okay, at the moment, we are reading through the book of Esther, and we have a nice picture Bible. There's a lot of picture Bibles that are really yuck. Okay, they look like the modern cartoon figures, but this is one of the really old versions, and you can still get it, and I can tell you which one it is. Very accurate, and most of the pictures are quite good. So we read the passage, and then we show the children the pictures, and they look forward to that. They enjoy that. We have another book that is called 101 Favourite Bible Stories. It's the best one I've been able to find so far. Christ has short hair, so you know that's saying something. But we went through that whole book at one stage with our children. Now, some of this will depend on the age bracket of your children, but even if you've got very young children who can't really even understand yet what's being read, it's still a good practice for them to learn to sit still and to hear the Word of God. That'll actually help you. Be a good training time for what that hopefully will then carry over into church. You say, Pastor, I saw your kid under the chair the other day. We're working on it, all right? Okay? But you understand what I'm saying. Another idea that we came across some time ago, which has really been good, is the use of a prayer box. And the children love this. So we want to try and make family devotions a happy time and something the children look forward to. And our kids absolutely love the prayer box and usually squabble as to who gets to hand them out. But what we have is we've just taken I'm not sure what sort of box it was now, but Kate and the children did it as a project, covered it in nice paper with a hole in the top, and then we just get bits of paper and write prayer requests. It might be Pastor Tony Evans, missionaries, needs, family members. And all of those cards go into the box. The box gets handed around and each child takes one of those out of the box and they pray for what's on the card. Now, that can be good because, often children are keen to pray, but sometimes, having something specific for them, okay, tonight you're going to pray for this person, and of course you can pray for anything else on your heart. And then we just pray around the table, each member of the family, including our youngest who says all sorts of stuff, Teddy, Mummy, Daddy, Amen, but that's okay, that they're learning. It's a wonderful time together. So the prayer box, we found that to be very, very beneficial. The children love it and they look forward to it. Can we have the prayer box tonight? And you hand that around and we all pray. And it's really, it's just a little touch of heaven on earth. If you can get in the habit of just at the meal table, have your meal together as a family and then open the scriptures. Just get the Bible there, sit it there so don't forget. And just read a passage of scripture. Pray together, and it's just uniting your hearts together as a family. And these are, again, the practical outworkings of what the Bible's trying to teach us here, beginning and ending the day with the Word of God, the parents taking the initiative, establishing good practices within the home. And I've just got a few other tips for saturating our children's lives in the Scriptures, and there are many other things that maybe you could think of, but character-building stories that teach scriptural principles are good, like Patch the Pirate. Lamplighter Theatre is another one I've come across recently. Creation science materials are excellent. A quality Bible storybook. See it as an investment. Okay, a lot of parents out there buy their kids junky video games, junky DVDs, junky whatever. So don't feel bad about investing some money in some good quality Christian resources. That's my way of thinking. Okay, people blow all sorts of money out there on worldly stuff, and if we're going to have worldly things out of the home, then we need to replace that vacuum. We need to put something in that vacuum and put the right things in. Scripture memory for children is excellent as well, and we've come across some good resources there. I think most of you probably got Scripture Talk by now, but there's another one called ABCs, which I could provide you a link to, which gives each... Most letters, I think it is in the alphabet, a scripture verse. So A, all we like sheep have gone astray, and just teaches the children a verse of scripture. And our little ones particularly love that, and it gets them started from a very young age with the Word of God just filling their little minds. Scripture songs, wonderful. Children love songs, and just getting the scripture of God, into their minds through that medium. The Bible on audio is also an excellent tool that we can use. Maybe pop it on at night when the children go to bed, or even encourage regular listening for older children. And we've been doing this with our two oldest boys, particularly the eldest one, and established a bit of a reward system. And he's worked his whole way through. He's listened to the whole Bible once, and he got a good substantial prize for that, and he's now making his way back through again. Okay, and we have a little sheet with all the books of the Bible, and I'll sign it off each day what he's done, and that is an incentive there. You say, oh, we should never reward children. The Lord rewards us. Okay, if we're faithful as Christians, then we can expect that the Lord may have a crown for us in heaven. Okay, so the principle of rewards is in the Bible very clearly. He that feareth the commandment, Proverbs says, shall be rewarded. So on the one hand, we do want to correct misbehaviour, but we want to encourage and reward our children, and an incentive system, I think, is something worth considering. It doesn't have to be massive. My wife usually does scripture memory with the children most days, and as they learn a certain amount of verses, she has a prize box with just little prizes, not very big, but again, the children just love it. They look forward to it. They have something to work towards, and they get a little prize for every time they do three or four verses. I can't remember how many. And by the way, that's what's good about the Bible and actions, as found in that DVD, the Scripture Talk DVD. We've taken that idea, and we're learning other passages now from the Bible with our kids. They help come up with the actions between mum and the kids, and they love it. They love the Scripture memory time, and they enjoy doing actions, and they've learnt many, many other verses that way as well, and sections of Scripture. So we just share those things with you. Encourage questions with children on biblical topics. We don't want to belittle our children if they ask a question that seems so obvious. Okay, sometimes they ask something that sounds really funny. But that's okay. Seize that as an opportunity to teach them about spiritual things. And sometimes children can come out with very insightful questions. One of my boys asked me some time ago, Dad, were all the people in the Old Testament saved? I'm not sure if some of them were saved. I said, well, that's a good question. I'm not sure about some of them either. But anyway, and that opened up a discussion. We need to give our children a Bible-based and Christ-centered education. Okay, that's important. To do that, I think personally, my personal view is that homeschooling offers one of the best ways to be able to do that practically. I do understand, though, that it's not necessarily for everybody, but every parent needs to make sure that their children get a Christ-centered and Bible-based education. I believe the Bible requires that, and we need to do whatever's in our power to make that happen. So if you choose to delegate that responsibility to someone else for whatever reason, for the Lord as a parent, then you better make sure you know what's going into your children's minds and take responsibility to make sure they're taught correctly. Then we can help our children forming their own devotional habits. So we have family time with them, Bible time, but also as the children get older, we want to encourage them to learn to start the day themselves with the Word of God. So, okay, before you get into all the books on the shelf there about whatever, have you read your Bible and committed the day to the Lord and establish those good habits, because we want our children to learn to walk with God from a young age. Godly music is also an important teaching medium, and we don't always think about this, but the Bible speaks about teaching and admonishing in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs in Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19. Now, we know that that is in the context of the local church, but it does teach us that godly music is a medium for instruction. Okay, teaching, admonishing, that's instruction. Admonishing has the idea of correction even. So, again, there are so many ways in which we can flood our homes with the Word of God and seek to create that environment that the Word of God presents to us here, an environment where the Word of God is central. And I'd like to put it this way, that basically when it comes to our homes are constantly tuned to one channel. Now, think of it this way, you know, some people will have in their homes a radio just playing in the background, and sometimes they're not even really thinking about the fact that that is happening. It's just there in the background, constantly broadcasting news, stories, whatever, but it's there. And I think that's how it needs to be, an illustration of what it's like in our homes. Whether it's conscious, formal teaching, where it's planned and structured, or whether it's just the natural outflow in discussions and godly music and other things. We want to have our homes tuned to that one main channel all the time, the Word of God. It's always on the air. There's one channel always on the air in our homes, and that's so important. People have that, don't they, in their homes? They might have the television just going. And you go into the home and it's just constantly just playing and just pouring, and they're not even fully aware of how much is just absorbing into their minds and hearts and changing their philosophies and the way they view life, but it's just always filtering in. Well, how much more should we as believers do that with the right thing, with the Word of God, have that central position reserved in our homes for the Word of God? So, educating our children in the Word of God. There's just some scriptural principles and some practical suggestions that I hope will stimulate some thinking in your own mind about what can be done. Today, we really have no excuses. Parents, we have before us more resources and more technology and things that we can use to this end. The problem is the same technology that we can use for good, sadly, too often is used for the opposite. And we, rather than pouring the right things into our children's lives, the world, the flesh and the devil has taken over, and we're filling our homes with ungodliness and ungodly teaching. So what I want to talk to you about next Wednesday, is media in the home. Okay, so as we think about the positive side in these verses, okay, that we're to teach and instruct and fill our homes with the Word of God, we can't help but then think of the other aspect, that in order to achieve this, we need to be very diligent in limiting the channels that can threaten the sort of focus that we need to have on the Word of God. And so I want to give us all a lesson next week to think about on media in the home, give you some statistics and give you some biblical principles to regulate and control the media in our homes. Okay? So